Hey there, Friday Night Movie family. You are listening to a very special South by Southwest episode of the Friday Night Movie podcast. Tune in for all of the exciting interviews we have coming to you this week and beyond. And if you're at the festival, we hope you're having an amazing time. And welcome to another special South by Southwest edition of the Friday Night Movie podcast. We have with us the filmmaking team behind I Feel Like the Movie we have been waiting to talk about. This is really exciting. This is at the end. We're recording this at the end of Saturday when we've had an amazing day of interviews, but we're recording with the team from We Were Dangerous. I froze for a second. I've remembered everybody's name and position, but I was like, we were dangerous, which is an incredible story of young women triumphing.
Resilience.
I mean, that's the way I want to describe it. That's too simple. But
sisterhood, resilience, just triumph. Like
there's a lot going on. We're going to get into it.
And can I just say, perfect title. Oh. The perfect title for a film.
We have with us Josephine Stewart Tafue. We have Maddie Dye, who wrote the film, and we have Morgan Waru, who produced the film. And everyone knows that Becky and I, in particular, have a very soft spot for producers. So we're not going to ask lots of questions about like scheduling and numbers of days and things like that, but. We have to. The listeners don't want to hear us talk about logistics.
They like the landscape shots are, you know, they're these wide shots. There's nothing around, and I'm thinking, okay, but like, where did people go to the bathroom on set? Okay. Like, where was their crap?
That is not going to be the first question we ask about this amazing movie.
We have much more thoughtful questions.
I'm going to continue to say great things about the movie, and then to turn to Josephine for the first question. And the thing I want to say is that look, I saw a lot of movies, and this is not hyperbole. I'm not messing around. Saw a lot of movies this year. Many of them are nominated for Oscars. This is better than 4 out of 5 of the movie that are nominated that I've seen that are nominated for Best Picture. I won't tell you which ones I've seen. Our listeners will know what I'm talking about because they know what I think of those movies. But like this movie is incredible. It has everything. It has heart. It has adventure. It has sisterhood. It has, and I'm a brother.
It has very high stakes.
And extremely high stakes. And it made me laugh. And it made me cheer. I don't cry in movies, so I didn't cry. But I'm sure other people will cry.
That's right. I don't cry in movies either.
And it is an hour and 22 minutes long, and it feels like one of the most triumphant epics I've ever seen. So, Josephine, as a director...
I'm obsessed with you.
Josephine. Yes. Josephine, so you take us on this journey out to this island with the incorrigible girls. Okay.
Yes.
And in an hour and 20 minutes, you bring us from, oh, wow, this is kind of like, you know, Dead Poets Society kind of, or Lord of the Flies kind of vibe, to like, I feel like we are changing the world by the end of this movie. These three young women are changing the world. Please, as a director, like, how do you chart that course for the audience? Because that's not an accident. So take us through it.
Oh, man. Okay, that was so much. And as a New Zealander, we're quite self-deprecating, so it was quite a lot to hear you say those really kind things. Thank you so much.
I mean them.
I know.
Okay.
You know, like, it's a lot.
Okay.
But I'm...
Like, we're going to talk about every frame of this movie in 20 minutes, so okay. Keep going.
Every single frame was fought over, don't you think, Mox? Every single frame. Right. So, yeah, it was really tricky. I'll be totally honest with you. We shot it over 5 weeks.
Wow.
And then the edit process was nearly a year. Because it was so, like, I was walking that tightrope of the happy sad. So you really want to lure people in, and you don't want to scare them off or put them off, and you want people to trust you and feel really safe. And it's a bit easier to do that with humor, I think. And so we're sort of treading this line, but also we have these really quite serious themes of basically having autonomy and control over your own body and what happens to that, which can tip into sort of heavy territory. So the whole time I'm trying to navigate this balance between happy, sad, and at the end of the film, you want to feel triumphant and you want to feel like you're a part of this trio, whether you're a man or a woman or, you know, gender neutral, it doesn't matter.
Like I said, it's a movie about sisterhood and I'm a brother and very gender not neutral in my conception of myself, and I felt super connected to this family of people.
We want you to feel like, we want the audience to feel like the fourth member of the group, almost like you're part of this trio.
Now I'm getting misty. You
deliver on that. That is what it feels like. The last shot of the film, or the last scene of the film, and those last couple of shots, you are there with the characters.
So here I have a question about the last, because you said you fought about a lot in the edit, or you fought to get to the edit.
We worked through every single frame of the film.
So because the last shot in my view is perfection, and I'm sure I'm agreeing with someone. I'm sure I know from the inside, I'm sure I validated someone's argument just now and probably caused someone else a lot of headaches. Oh, yeah. But the look on Nellie's face, on Nellie's face and the decision to leave it right there. And this is something I've heard from the great Rachel Israel, who's a director we worked with, who talked a lot to us about, is know when to get out of the story. And how did you all arrive? I'd love to hear everybody's take on this. How did you all arrive at that last moment?
We're not giving a spoiler. Come to an end.
It's time to leave.
If you have seen my short films, which you haven't, which is so okay, because they're like super niche New Zealand art house short films.
But now we're going to see them.
But
can we see them?
They're online.
Okay.
I always end my films on the lead. But the person whose journey we're following, because I'm really curious about where we started with them and then where we've ended and how they've changed. And you go on that journey with them. So that was also part of my decision, because it's kind of a signature for me. We talked about this a lot, but I really love it. And some people don't. Some people like to be told. But personally, I like it when an audience can bring who they are and their own history as a human being and just a person on this planet, and they watch a film, and we let you decide as an audience what happens to them based on your own experience. You get to choose.
It's funny because we've been debating the epilogue amongst ourselves.
I immediately started imagining the sequel. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I know there's not going to be a sequel, but I think about the next chapter and where they're going.
We'll talk about our next chapters later, because I'm going to spoil her. Maddie, how do you feel about that last? How do you feel about that last shot?
I mean, I think it's beautiful. And there was like some point in one version of a script, I never felt super attached to it, but where there was sort of like a prologue scene, epilogue scene, and I really like just the like latent potential, like this enormous sense of possibility of like leaving them at the point where you leave them, where it just feels like it's like the open horizon and sort of like anything can play out. And it is, to me, the best thing ever that we've gotten questions like, where are they in 30 years? I'm like,
we will tell you if you'd like to flip the interview later, because we've been talking about it.
Like, it's the story's in their hands, in your hands, and like it feels exhilarating and endless, and like that's, ideal.
That's so incredibly generous of you to give it back to the audience that way. That's wild.
Yeah.
All right, Morgan, producer, our favorite job in any movie. How do you feel about where you arrive at that moment? Or how do you feel about the process of getting there?
Yeah, no, I think when that iteration of the script came through with the added epilogue, we were like, no, we think actually we just should end where you don't show what happens to the girls. Like, let's be brave enough to do that, because it lets the audience project what their sensibility or their feeling is of the trajectory of the girls, but also hopefully the sense that so much of their lives have tried to be controlled, and so much of their life has tried to be sort of written or literally narrated, that actually they're free of that now, and they don't, that's not projected onto them. And I just felt brave and a little bit of a risk, and Josephine pulled it off so beautifully with that shot, and it just encapsulated, yeah, that was the ending shot. I think so much of the movie, you know, we were in the edit for a long time, but that shot was the end of the film for a long time.
It was. And
because it was,
you know, it's
so
very
fantastic.
Lucky that I had Morgan as my producer, because she trusted me and let me take creative risks like that. I think another producer wouldn't have let me do that.
Well, it pays off. It pays off because it does feel like you're watching the movie that you intended to make, that it does not feel, you know, watered down or off its path. It feels like what the creative team had in their intention is what was delivered. And I have a question about the script writing. Mm-hmm. So the film is at times incredibly funny. Mm. And although it is a drama, and I'm wondering for you in the process of writing, you know, how you is the first of all, your choices of how and when to weave in comedy. But then, of course, when you have actors and you're on set and things come to life, it evolves. And so first part of the question is, when you're writing, how and when do you decide to weave in those funnier lines or moments? And then seeing it actually come to life, were there moments that surprised you that hit either more lighthearted or more serious in tone than you had initially intended?
Mm. Yeah, I mean, super interesting. I mean, I guess, like, my motivations with, like, making it humorous at times was, you know, growing up going to a Catholic school and contending with issues around, like, I know, your body and sex and sin and damnation or whatever, salvation, like around girls who I just found hilarious and like irreverent, disinterested. I mean, like I remember sitting next to like that bit where they're like, what are the fruits of the Holy Spirit?
That was one of the best moments in the X-Men.
She wrote on her like worksheet, love grapes and raspberries. And I was just like, that's quite funny. Like, I like that she put love in there because she was like, yo, look, this usually comes up. to me, it felt just like very natural that even in these like moments of great harshness and hostility and trauma that there is resilience, mm-hmm. and joy and friendship. And I mean, I definitely think it was a dance, but I think that like for Jose and for me and probably for all of us, it was quite instinctive, I think, that like we are prone to laugh, mm-hmm. in the moments where that like feel devastating, I think, in yeah. some ways. And like, yeah, so yeah, instinctively. But I mean, yeah, just that's like how we'd like to tell stories in New Zealand too.
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, you're
definitely.
Very, yeah, absolutely. If Lily was here, that's the least bad swear on this show.
Drop some F-bombs.
Yeah, you can drop some. And Al, I mean, this whole film is about, I mean, it's not about body autonomy, but body autonomy is a huge part. My wife, I'm very proud, has a huge career in the public health, reproductive justice. So I'm going to throw a question to her that will become a question to you, which is like, when you see a film like this, how are you processing the women's health component, and what's something you want to ask the filmmakers?
Honestly, when I realized where the film was going, like you said, there's so much comedy and there's so much pain in this film. And I was like, wow, we're all the way across the world. And like, it's the exact same fight that we're fighting here. And it like, yeah. It was bittersweet, right? Cause I was like, oh, I see. Okay. Yep. We're doing this. And it broke my heart a lot. But it also was incredibly fulfilling to then watch the end of the story for your characters and see where they took it. But that's not actually my question where I want to go.
Oh, all right.
If I may. And I don't know
who
to address
you can.
The question to, but, and I was really absorbed in the film and fighting some really bad streaming, watching it on the airplane. So there was some things that, you know, threw me off. But there was there's a narrator. You have the narration, and it's coming from the matron. And I was really interested in that choice because you're not sympathetic to her. You're not on her side. And so I was like, wow, what a fascinating choice to have her be our narrator. So I don't know who to direct that question to necessarily.
We did originally have a different narrator, and it wasn't quite working. It felt removed from the world. And we realized we needed someone from the world of the film narrating. And it did feel like the matron was the natural choice, and we feel like she works because, and Maddie, I feel like you can add to this actually, but Maddie had this idea of the narrator being like a voice of God, but a sort of satire on that. And so when we think about the world of the film, the matron is so earnest and righteous and so set in these like ingrained, deep ingrained beliefs that it felt right for her to then assume that role.
I mean, like I was interested in telling the story in the 1950s, which like I don't think we think of as like the era in which New Zealand was colonized, but it's the era in which like colonization has become like embodied. Like this is a Maori woman who now lives these colonized values, and we're in these institutions that like are now so established. And it, I mean, we were always sort of interested in telling these sort of like stories about New Zealand's history from the fringes, or like sort of that feel a little bit untold. And in some ways, like she is the great tragedy of the story, and she's sort of like, I guess, an example of like the what could have been the worst case scenario for these girls, and she so needs them to be redeemed because she so desperately needs to be redeemed. And in that way, like she's just a as a narrator holds like so much of the complexity of the story, because she's ridiculous and she's believes it, and she's like deeply subjective, and she's like, you know, believe she has the ultimate truth. And like it that was kind of fun to play with, having someone that's both like, you know, so earnest and deeply unreliable.
Well, I think that's part of why
it's great.
So like the decision to do voiceover, it's something we talk about. So just to come back to us loving this movie so much, and this movie having a narrator is like a whole other bar that it hurdled, because on our show we tend to like, I never knew this, but Becky kind of explained to me a long time ago, like, and I can't unhear it, is like, I get very suspicious now when someone's doing voiceover. Now, this is not that
because
kind.
The voiceover can't explain to you what you're seeing. If the voiceover is explaining what you're seeing, it's not doing its job. It has to be, it's like poetry. It has to give you something at a different level.
Yeah.
And very few films achieve that. And I knew immediately, I'm like, oh, this is going to be a good movie, because the narration, instead of turning me off, it made me curious. And I'm like, now I'm curious, which is so rare.
I mean, I'm not going to name any names, but there's a lot of movies that go to the streamers, and they very clearly, in my view, I don't know if this is true or not, had no narration. And then someone was like, let's make sure this is very, very clear what's happening here. Have the main character literally narrate everything that's happening.
That's my mom, that's my dad, that's my little brother. I actually have a bunch of examples that you literally said.
To be clear, I now know that about narration, but when I started writing it, I didn't know.
The matron being unreliable and so subjective and such a tragedy in herself, I think, which you articulated, which I couldn't articulate before you said it just now, is part of why it's such a beautiful element.
Interesting. It makes it, it adds a layer.
You have to have compassion for her as well.
Yes.
You know, it needs to be complicated. Your relationship to her has to be complicated. It can't be black and white.
There's a scene, and now we're going to break down. How are we doing on time? We're doing okay? Okay. So there's one scene I really want to talk about. Is that okay?
Sure, yeah.
All right. Well, let's talk about it in like 1 minute. It's the scene where Lou is expressing that she has learned the lessons of the teacher and God. And the joy that you see in the matron's face, like her whole life has been validated. And like, if you've seen movies, you're like, this is not going to work out well for her. I loved that moment so much because I was riding the roller coaster with her. I was almost feeling good for her in that moment. Oh.
Yeah.
Cool. Can I? Oh, sorry. You probably want to respond to that.
I mean, yes. Rima is an extremely talented actress. She's one of our best who plays the matron in New Zealand. She's loved. She's an idol in New Zealand. And she's got beautiful nuance. She's incredible with text because she's a theatre actor as well. She's trained in theatre. So when it comes to text, she just knows how to place things.
I quickly, because I know we have 3 minutes left, I want to just touch on our there's Nellie, who's our, you know, our main character, our protagonist, and then you have Daisy and Lou and this and these three young women who come together, and their bond is so natural and beautiful and believable. And so from all aspects, from the writing to producing to the directing, finding that trio of young women...
And then creating the environment
creating
for it.
And then creating that environment that is so natural and beautiful between them. Can we get like some, you know, texture on that? A little bit of information?
I mean, I think the casting was reasonably collaborative and organic, but the environment was all Josephine. You should speak to that.
Your main job as a director is to get the actors to trust you and get them to feel relaxed enough that they can trust themselves, and they need to feel safe. As soon as actors feel safe, they're going to open up and they're going to play. And I wouldn't be too strict on script. If they dropped a line or if they kind of changed it, I would let it flow and fly. Sometimes I would film them and they would think that we were just rehearsing, but would actually be secretly shooting, because then they wouldn't be aware, like hyper aware, that they needed to play it for camera, especially the young one, Daisy, Maniah Hall. And I think it's just, the biggest thing is to let your actors feel safe and relaxed. And I'm looking for authenticity constantly.
And you did a couple of things like... Maniah, the youngest who played Daisy, was kept a bit separate from Rima, so her fear of her was quite genuine.
Oh, wow. Which was a bit mean, because when she knows Rima, because Rima's a star in New Zealand, and the first time she saw her in rehearsal, her little face lit up and a big smile came on, and I said to Rima, do not be kind to her. And Rima told her off for something. She just turned around and told off Maniah. And I saw her shrink back, and I felt so bad, but I was like, it kind of needs to be like this.
Well, that's some good backstory.
Well, we were dangerous as the tippy-tippy top of our recommendations, not just for this festival, but for this year.
Yeah.
But now we want to know in 45 seconds or so, what should people be watching? Now, let's keep in mind.
I trust you now.
Our parents really watch anything that is made in New Zealand or Australia, our parents watch. They're like addicted to Acorn. And that's the network. It's like the streamer here that has all of those. So you can even name a niche, like local show if you want. But really, just whatever you want to recommend.
It's just so.
What did you watch on the plane?
Films. Okay, actually, do you know what? I'm going to talk about an Australian film. I saw that one too. When I was a little kid, my mum took me to the cinema and I thought we were going to see Aladdin, a Disney film in the 90s. And she lied to me, and we were actually going to see an Australian film called Strictly Ballroom.
Oh my God.
And I threw a tantrum in the cinema, like in the foyer. I threw a massive tantrum. I started crying, like full. And my mother did not bend or break. She was like, no, we're going to see
that's how you parent.
One of the all-time greatest movies. That's in like my top 5 mind. Movies.
Yeah. And it was so funny and so clever, and it broke all the rules that I knew of cinema. Because it was like part mockumentary.
It
was a drama. It was a comedy. It was a dance
And a melodrama.
We just watched it with our kids.
I probably rewatch it once a year.
So I would say, it's one of, if anyone hasn't seen Strictly Ballroom, give it a watch. Ugh,
classic.
Right.
Okay, well, I'm going to do a cop out and say your recommendation, which is Audrey.
Oh.
Starring Jackie Van Beek.
Yeah, who is amazing.
And a friend and fellow Kiwi. Yeah, I'm hoping to see that tomorrow.
This film is not that recent either, but it's I've been surprised at how many Americans have never heard of it. It's a German film called I'm Your Man. And
I've not heard of it.
It's a really, really good film.
Does it have a different name in English? Is it like called like hamburgers in English?
No, it's
for the American
audience. It's got a different name in German.
Oh, okay.
Name in German is in German.
Okay.
German, shockingly.
I'm your mensch.
Yeah, the English name is I'm Your Man. And one of the editors on our film was the editor of this film, and we watched it, and it was just it's an incredible film that deals with like a deals with a moral question beautifully. So I would really recommend it.
And it's got robots in it.
Oh, great.
But it's not
all right. Yeah. All in. This is great. We got the best recommended. We get like a full, it's like going to an exfoliation coming to the festival and getting
some
great.
In fact, Shai, when you travel to New Zealand in a few months, now you have a whole list of things.
I mean, if you guys want to hang out, we can hang out.
It's on the record now.
With
now
my parents, my mother's, my...
No, I'm not.
She's going to the Australia leg.
I'm invited to the Australia portion. He's invited to the...
My dad...
So I'll hang out
with dad retired, maybe. And my mom's dream for her whole life has been to go to Australia and New Zealand. And so they're doing a six-week trip, and it's around the time of my mother's birthday, and so each of us... Or no, us two. I don't know if our other sister is.
Yeah.
But are each going to go for, like, a leg of the trip. So I will be doing a New Zealand piece.
Great.
And so, yeah, we can hang out.
Well,
The movie is We Were Dangerous. We're here with Josephine, Maddie, and Morgan, the incredible team behind the film. And just everybody has seen this movie. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Friday Night Movie, the sibling rivalry and pop culture podcast. Join the Friday Night Movie family by following @FryNightMovie on all of the socials and visiting our website, FryNightMovie.com. Our theme song is by What Does It Eat? And make sure to leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening.